Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rick Swan.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis, who's just had an incredibly quick and speedy lunch. How the devil are you?
Well, I rushed off my feet, but in a good way. I had to get up really early. Me and Simon went to the 8 a.m. screening of Star Wars Rise of Skywalker.
You did have plans to go to a 6 a.m. screening.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I didn't. and then got here, had to watch AEW.
Yeah.
And I had to have lunch. And now I'm here.
And we've got to try and do all these Christmas videos as well. So if you have emailed in and you've thought, Luke and Ollie have not replied to any of my emails, there's a reason why. It's because we're incredibly, incredibly busy at the moment. Swept off our feet, as you quite rightly said. But hey, man, Christmas is nearly here.
What a rare break.
Are you feeling the Christmas spirit yet?
Yeah, in parts. I think as I've gotten older, I am more likely to forget that it's Christmas while it's Christmas.
Okay.
Because when I was a kid, all the way through until university, really, it was a big thing because I didn't have anything else to do, I presume.
Mm-hmm.
What do students do in December other than get drunk and go to Christmas school disco parties?
I worked.
What? I also did that. But my
wife thinks that's a bit of like, she doesn't think it's crazy. I think she sometimes thinks it's a bit sad that like my Christmas periods when I was at university was I would go home on the late evening of Christmas Eve and I would then go back as early as I could on Boxing Day because I was working. And I was working in retail, and retail don't sleep for no man apart from Christmas Day. So, yeah, like my Christmas at home over my university years was about 24 hours. And then I would just go back and then live in my house alone, my student house alone, because everyone else had gone back for Christmas. And I was just there on my own for 2 weeks.
But you're around toys.
Well, I was around games, yes.
That's the most Christmassy thing. You were an elf.
Yeah, I suppose.
After Christmas Day.
Yeah.
I worked Christmas Day once.
Oh, what?
It was depressing.
That is depressing. Was that for music?
No, it was for sort of NBC. Because 24 retail might take a break for Christmas Day, but television doesn't.
Oh, God.
Someone's got to make sure the TV channels don't just stop working.
Just take a break, lads. Mm. Just set it all up on our little automated things.
Yeah. It was. And that's what that's why I had to get out of that job, because the robots were taking over. Luke's still ill.
Good job on not filling the silence that I left while I was coughing.
I had a little cough myself.
Oh, maybe yours was a tiny cough. You could have easily filled.
There you go.
Thanks, mate. What have you got? What are your Christmas plans this year?
Going to my parents for Christmas Day. Then, get this. My parents are driving me and my lady partner from our family home to her family home, where we're all going to have Christmas lunch together.
Ooh.
And I know so your parents and Kate's parents hang out all the time.
Yeah.
This is the third time ever they've met.
Right. So this is a big deal. It's a big day.
It's not a big deal because that sort of, you know, hurdle has already been crossed. They've met each other. They went to the 60th birthday party thing this year. But Anna's parents are, you know, like normal people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My parents, and this isn't just, oh, my parents are so embarrassing. No, my parents love to partay.
Yeah. Well, your mum's Kairi Sane.
Yeah. I went for a drink with them last night. I got there at 7. My mum was hammered. She was hammered.
How long has she been there for?
Well, she got there at 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And my mum and dad don't really have any hobbies, so they just drink.
Yeah.
Sounds depressing when I put it like that.
It is a little bit, yeah. it's almost as sad as like just living on your own for 2 weeks.
They have fun. And
which I was not doing.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's... That it's going to... I think my mum, Kairi Sane, thinks it's going to be a more booze-filled jolly. Because my house at Christmas, we go to the pub, we have friends over, everyone gets drunk.
Yeah.
That's not what my lady partner's parents do.
No.
They have maybe, you know, a glass of Prosecco.
In the morning.
And that's it.
When you're opening presents.
That's it. They don't really drink at all. My mum was like, what can I get them? Because they don't drink. My sister said, lime cordial. She was serious. With my whole family, like, we can't get them alcohol as a gift for Christmas.
Yeah, they're all of a sudden in a panic mode.
Yeah, because what else is there?
Yeah, what other gifts?
If you don't really know the people.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, my wife had to do this recently. She was part of Secret Santa for a job that she'd only just started. Like, she'd been there for 2 weeks, and it's a big office.
Yeah.
And she had to be part of Secret Santa and get something for... I was like, I don't know him.
What did she go for?
She, funny enough, went for alcohol. She bought him one of those... Do you see, like, M&S doing these Christmas cocktails? They've got, like, Jaffa cake cocktails and...
But it's disgusting.
It's very sweet. I can tell you that much.
For my hot take on the cocktail world at the moment, espresso martinis are delicious.
Yeah, you really enjoyed the... I know you thought the...
I didn't enjoy.
It was too chocolatey at the YouTube party.
Look, martini's always my go-to. And then espresso martinis started making the rounds a couple of years ago. I was like, this is delicious. I love coffee. I love martini. Whatever's had... It's broken to the mainstream this year, and they've screwed it up.
Oh,
because
come on.
I know mainstream, because they can't just have an espresso martini. It's a salted caramel chocolate espresso martini. It's a Terry's chocolate orange espresso martini. My sister last night had a Christmas pudding
Blop.
Espresso martini.
Blop.
She was like, do you want any of this? Because I think it's disgusting. I was like, well, I liked the espresso. I'll try it. It was just... alcohol and syrup.
Ugh.
It was gross.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like when the coffee explosion happened, where you can have enter millennial nonsense flavor here.
See, you know, but I'm quite the I just, you know what? Funny enough, me and my wife were talking last night about the YouTube Christmas party, and my wife made a very, very good title of your sex tape joke. And I was like, well, don't say that to any YouTubers when you're queuing up to get waffle things. And we laughed about that. She was like, yeah, he totally okay boomered you.
Mm.
And I was like, oh my God, you're right. He did. He boomered me. And I was like, I want to go find him again and be like, I'm an actual millennial, mate.
Yeah.
You bloody Gen Zers.
Wow. Who knew that sort of generational conflict would matter?
Yeah.
Does it just matter to us because
no, it matters
we've
to
hit
boomers
an age
because
now?
They don't like the okay boomer thing. I was talking to my mum about this over the weekend. She thinks it's very disrespectful.
That's exactly what a boomer would say. if anyone criticizes millennials.
I did say okay boomer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very good.
What are your Christmas plans?
Well, going up to my parents for Christmas, going up to Herefordshire, up my parents' very scary hill. Then we're likely going to go to the pub. A fair amount. My uncles are also staying with us. That's going to be a lovely old time. It's going to be 8 people there for Christmas.
Lovely time with the family.
Lovely time with the family. My brother and his girlfriend are arriving about lunchtime on Christmas Day. My brother has got a lot of games that he wants to play. So he knows how long I'm there for. So he's trying to structure the order of the game, like the order of the games he wants to play. Like importance.
That's nice.
Yeah. We're definitely going to be playing Captain Sonar because there's 8 of us there.
I still haven't played it.
And it's the perfect number to play
that
game.
Sounds great.
Oh my God, it's so good. Well, if you come to Games Expo with us next year, maybe you can play it then.
Nerds. Maybe.
Well, we got this email in before we get out of here, into the main show, that is, from Matt Sweeney, who says, "Warmest of the season's greetings to Luke, Ollie, Laurie, Pete, Dave, Randy, Simon, and the Wrestle Tykes, and all the Pledge Hammers, YouTube subscribers, Pod Swafters, except Blake Ham, you piece of crap. Not all of us have forgotten. If you're still reading this after the Christmas, screw all of you except Dave and his soothing baritone voice and fabulous accent that I wanted to take it away to the hills and have all the man babies with. My wife is a self-proclaimed lover of all things to do with the British royal family."
Okay.
So this is in connection to, as he's titled here, "Movie I Hate That Everyone Loves."
Oh, okay. Good, that's taken off.
Yeah. Well, one person sent an email.
And that Swaff Squad didn't.
No, that's, well, yeah, you're right, actually. This has done better. And I couldn't even say it properly.
Yeah, it's got such a good name. Swaff Squad.
So I went with her and four of our friends at the time of opening of, so the opening night rather, of the King's Speech.
Mm.
I'm not a royal guy myself and subsequently don't know much about the history slash members of the royal family, and so I wasn't the target audience of this movie by any stretch and predictably didn't think much of the film. I still had my fun though, looking over my transfixed wife, picture the kid from Up in the movie theater with goggles, hanging on every set piece, costume and word. After the movie, I was quite surprised to find that our friends, also not big on the roles, absolutely loved the movie as well, and was floored when I jumped online and found the vast majority of people also loved the King's Speech. Anyway, here's why you're wrong. 3 minutes into the movie, it's revealed that the main character, obviously, has a speech impediment. The movie is called The King's Speech, so something is going to happen where the guy currently in line to be king, no speech impediment, steps down or is removed from the main character will have to step up and give a speech. 1 hour of speech therapy, brackets, exciting. The guy currently in line to be king steps down, forcing the main character to take on the responsibility in a huge twist no one could have seen coming apart from the first scene of the goddamn film. 1 hour of speech therapy, brackets, gripping. The king uses speech therapy tricks to give a speech, like literally everyone else that has gone, undergone speech therapy and had to do this in some form of public speaking has done. The end. Does that seem like a good movie to anyone? Am I taking crazy pills here? The King's Speech was the most agonizing 2 hours I've spent in a movie theater. Don't get me wrong, I love that my wife loved it, and the fact that it turned out to appeal to more than royal buffs continues to astound me. The plot is predictable right out the gate, the characters are completely inconsequential aside from the main character and the speech therapist, and the dialogue was almost 100% flat and cliche. Why should I listen to you? Because I have a voice! Christ alive. The entire story could have been presented and concluded in about 30 minutes. It was a fine concept for a short film that was stretched into feature length because of reasons. The only thing I liked about the movie was that it was nominated for an Oscar in almost every major category that year and didn't win a single one. I was elated, and I'm thankful that there hasn't been a major theatrical release in the same vein since. Typing this email has actually made me angry. F this movie, sideways with a cactus. Have been a huge fan of you guys for over 2 years. Please continue making half-decent content on a somewhat consistent basis, Sween Machine.
We're here for you. Wow. What a fascinating take to call a movie predictable that's based on a very well-known historical fact story.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew, but maybe they were working with that idea that everyone sort of knew what was going to happen anyway. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Every film is like that. I saw Star Wars this morning.
Yeah.
It's what I expected. Everything happened that I thought would happen.
Yeah.
That's not bad storytelling. We say it in wrestling all the time.
Head on
it's
over
good
to
foreshadowing.
Head on over to the Screenstalker podcast to hear more in-depth reviews like that. But do you want to jump into the main show?
Yeah, we should, yeah.
We should because, well, it's theory time. It's speculation station time. Is there a mystery member of the Dark Order? Here is the show.
This is what went down.
Go, take us through it.
It was the Tag Team Championship main event between the Young Bucks and SCU. It was built up throughout the show very effectively, I thought.
Yes.
The Young Bucks and SCU had a decent match. By other standards, it was a very good match. But by AEW standards, I felt like it wasn't that long. And it lacked a little something.
It did, and it just sort of like the finish felt like it came out of nowhere. It felt like they were just about to get into their final thirds, and then they hit the SCU later and won.
Yeah, especially compared to last week's main event, which was that crazy Proud and Powerful Young Bucks Texas street fight. Yeah. That was excellent, I thought.
One spot I did love, before we get into the ending angle, was when they were doing the double Dragon Sleeper spot, and Matt Jackson then gets Kaz and gives him a Northern Light suplex into Scorpio Sky and Nick Jackson. I thought that was a really cool spot.
Yeah, really, really. Oh, there were so many inventive bits there, but it wasn't really about that. It was about the main event angle that came afterwards. Maybe that's why they didn't kill themselves in the match, because they knew that the big cliffhanger was what came after. And it was teased throughout the show. There was a brief flash of I think it was Evil Uno.
It was Uno, yeah.
In sort of midway through the first match.
Yeah, yeah. And then during the Lady Persons match, they had like an advert come up, or just like text that says, "Join the Dark Order." And then there was like Jim Ross was like, "You can also go to jazzbarbecue.com."
I thought, wow, what a great way to continue this very good repackaging of the Dark Order. They're genuinely getting over, and it's a slow build thing. I can't wait for this to pay off in about 6 weeks' time, just before Revolution. No, it was going to pay off right here on this show.
It certainly did.
Because the Dark Order come out. It's Evil Uno and Stu Grayson, and they're at the top. Evil Uno says, "I know what you're thinking. This isn't a sort of invitation. This isn't recruitment. It's an initiation."
Yeah, he said, you are losers. On any other night, we might even offer you a spot in the Dark Order. But tonight's not about recruitment. It is initiation. Thinking, you know, initiation for who? And we found out who it was, because the Creepers all got in the ring and started attacking the Bucks and SCU. But then Alex Reynolds and John Silver, who we saw being effectively recruited last week from their hotel room after Reynolds got beat by John Moxley, and they got in there and they did the beatdown, and Uno and Grayson get into the ring. Grayson takes out the masks, and Uno hands them the masks, and they put them on and officially join the Dark Order.
Yeah. It was not the biggest reveal, because they've hardly been featured on Dynamite.
No, they had a match on Dark. I think they've had two matches on Dark, and then they had one match on Dynamite where they lost to LAX, and then they had a match on Dark, and then Reynolds lost to Moxley.
But they've been afterthoughts. They have not been featured at all. But sure, it built into the whole idea of, if you keep losing and losing and losing, then the Dark Order will take advantage of your, you know, your streak, mm-hmm. and kind of manipulate into joining them. Now, what was interesting here, also we had loads of baby faces running down. Kenny Omega, Dustin Rhodes, Cody.
No Hangman Page.
No Hangman Page, crucially. We'll come on to that later, because that ties into another story, which I think's been told very well.
Yeah.
But, you know, considering how many, Christopher Daniels jumped in as well, considering how many top tier talent there was there, I didn't buy into the Creepers overwhelming them. I almost wish there was about, I don't know, five times probably too many, but there were significantly more minions.
Okay, yeah.
I thought that would have been a much better visual, but here it just looked at it came off a bit shortchanged.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I thought it almost looked too much of a cluster because there was too many Creepers. I suppose from a believability standpoint, but I kind of took it as it was just the numbers game. Mm. Like, you know, if you're being attacked.
By the end, there was probably about the same amount of people.
Oh, I think there were still more Creepers than there were.
I don't know. You've got the image there. We could count them. I mean, look, Kenny Omega is worth five Creepers.
Yeah, okay.
The Young Bucks worth.
And I'm not disagreeing with you. Yeah.
So, but yeah, that happens. Got issues with that. But there seems to, I do like the Dark Order lore that they seem to be establishing. And the generic Creepers just had, what was it, yellow masks?
The little green masks.
It was green masks.
Black and green.
So luchador masks lined with green. But Alex Reynolds and John Silver, they were given purple masks. And then, of course, Evil Uno has a purplish mask, but it's different. And Stu Grayson, he's the first protege, I guess. He just gets to come as Bane without the mask.
He's not wrestling in.
He looks awesome.
I love the look of Grayson. Yeah. And I do love the look of the act, particularly Uno, because he's now like wearing those suits. Mm. I think he looks boss.
But there was one other guy there who also had a purple mask on. So he's not a generic guy. He's someone who's already been recruited. who could it be, I guess? But most people are speculating that it's Brandon Cutler.
Which is a name that really makes sense. Mm. In terms of not that we have seen him being, you know, recruited by the Dark Order or, you know, being even approached by the Dark Order, but we have seen Cutler lose a lot on TV. We've seen him lose a lot on Dark. But I think quite crucially to this, we've seen him beat up a lot while trying to save the Young Bucks, particularly by Proud and Powerful. Like, they powerbombed him through the stage during one of the beatdowns. He tried to make the save again last week when Proud and Powerful attacked the Bucks at the top of the match, and they again powerbombed him through the stage. So Cutler has almost got these priors of being a loser that could be susceptible to joining the Dark Order.
And it was that figure, we don't know if it was Cutler, at the end. I think it was Nick Jackson was down.
I think it was Matt.
Matt Jackson was down beneath all the Dark Order. Evil, he had a slightly busted open mouth. Evil Uno put his hand in Matt's mouth and then took it out to have a bit of the bloody on his hands to do the crawler thing. Why do I keep saying crawler? Creeper thing. And it was this guy who sort of held Matt up. So if the Young Bucks cut the storylines there.
And Cutler is very good friends with the Bucks, and that's actually, you know, it's been established on TV. So you can almost already picture the reveal when they take the mask off to reveal that it's Brandon Cutler, and the Bucks being like, "What?"
Let me picture that reveal. It's disappointing. So this is probably the let's get into thought mode, because this was a divisive angle. You know, Dave Meltzer, you listen to his thing.
He absolutely hated this closing angle. Like, hated this. He thought it was nitro levels of bad, because it's really not Dave's thing.
Yeah. But I listened to his thoughts as well. I guess what I got from him was that this was the turning point to, you should just focus on the Bucks. Focus on Omega. Focus on the stars that you've made and build them more at the moment. It's respectful to keep trying getting over new guys, but you've done that. You've done it with Darby. You've done it with Sammy. You've done it with Jungle Boy. Those guys are working. With Statlander. But no, did I say that right?
Statlander, yes.
Yes, good. He looked at me funny.
No. No Amy Sakura on this one to trip you up.
But, you know, the Nightmare Collective, Butcher, Bunny and the Blade, the Dark Order, not only are they just not connecting... I think that's, you know, fair to say they're divisive. They're not as universally applauded as those other ones I mentioned. No. They've also got the same gimmick.
That's where I think this really falls down. I said this in the review last week in my four-minute review and then when we did WrestleTalk Live. It's that, and Brandy is doing the exact same gimmick with the Nightmare Collective, looking to recruit Chris Statlander. And then you did this twice on the same show. She had Brandy come down twice. You had Brandy on this show doing the Nightmare Collective recruitment thing and cutting off their hair. And then you do it here, and like, the crowd weren't reacting to it. And I don't know if it's just because we've already seen this story twice today. So do I need to see it a third time, but with a different group?
I think it's because it's not that great a story right now. Mm-hmm. I definitely think the Nightmare Collective one isn't working just because it hasn't got it's just missing something. Butcher, Bunny and the Blade. I guess it's not the same kind of story. They're not recruiting people. It's just they all wear black. It's just a drop in the ocean of gimmicks.
Creepy tag teams.
Yeah. The Dark Order, though, after a rough start, they just didn't connect with the audience because it was presumably an act that got over to live crowds and maybe in PWG, but it just doesn't translate from a cold start to a mainstream audience. So they went back to the drawing board very smartly and they started to repackage them. And that has been working. But I think you need to build that up over time. You need to get some top tier people who have been losing. I thought Christopher Daniels would be a perfect Fallen Angel first recruit to make this feel like an actual credible faction.
Well, I didn't realize that Daniels was down there during the melee. Mm. I thought it was just the Elite that had run down. Minus Hangman Page.
Yeah.
So I was going to suggest that it could be Daniels.
Now he was down there to save us.
But I missed that.
Because Daniels had a little bit of a crisis of confidence against Penta in a bit early on based off their match the previous week. So that's a really sort of interesting story. I do not care. And I'm sure they're lovely. I don't care about John Silver. I don't care about I don't even know their names.
You've had to ask me three times today.
Alex Reynolds. I don't even care about Brandon Cutler that much. So why are you trying to get over these guys to this extent? And Dark Order, I was disappointed that they rushed this invasion angle to now, and I thought they immediately undermined it with the talent involved.
I think it is. I wasn't massively sold on the angle. I'm not going to, you know, lie about that. I thought it was okay. It was fine. I thought it was too soon. I do like the gimmick, and I've really enjoyed the build to this point. And I've enjoyed another four more weeks of it.
Yes, yeah.
I think they wanted to close out 2019 with a big angle. This isn't the biggest of big angles they could have done. But for me, the only reason, the reason why this falls down for me is just because they've already got, they're doing two groups doing the same gimmick. And I just think that is, like, that blows my mind that as a company that's got so many moving parts, no one thought, oh, these are similar, aren't they? Probably shouldn't do both of them at the same time on the same show. And that's why I think this is, it's completely falling apart.
I think
I don't mind the talent levels.
Okay.
I think it's always good to kind of like put new guys in there and try and elevate some new talent off the back of it. And really, in the Dark Order, it's Grayson and Uno. It's not these other two lads. And I like Brandon Cutler, so I think that reveal would be good. I'm not emotionally invested in it, but I think it would be a good angle. I think the Bucks think it's better than it is. For me, it all falls down to the fact that they've got two groups doing the same thing.
Yeah, I think if you type Dark Order in a thesaurus, it just comes up as Nightmare Collective. Dark Nightmare.
Yeah.
Order Collective. And even if it's at some point revealed that they're part of one big force, yeah, but that's not good either.
Yeah.
Even if it's good eventually, that this stuff right now in the thick of it isn't working. There were live reports that people were booing and chanting Bull S-word at this angle. But we don't. That could be good heat.
Yeah, we've heard from someone who was there who was tweeting us. They had a support WrestleTalk sign as well, if you noticed that, so thank you very much. And they said that in their area, it actually got over quite well. But they did. They also heard this, but it's unsure whether or not it was genuine heel heat or if it was just go-away heat.
Shout out to Corpus Christi, by the way.
Great crowd.
Who were a historically terrible crowd. The joke is it's like wrestling in front of a corpse.
Mm-hmm.
It's Corpus Christi. But they were very, very good for a WWE Raw show this year, I believe. And this was a fantastic crowd.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
But also, let's give a shout out to our wonderful $25 a month or more pledge hammers on Patreon. So thank you, Golden, Nick Holden.
Oh, yes, he's holding on to what's golden. He's one of a kind, Ket.
Whoa, Jordan, don't you dare call me Mountain, Jew.
That was his choice, yeah. Man. He didn't want to be called it. Don't call me Junior, Kev Foster Jr.
Whoa, thank you. In my veins, Viper Alistair.
Yep. So Randy Orton's tantrum says in my veins. No idea what it means. All-star Chuck Turner.
Whoa, thank you. Butter me up, Soren Nord. Butter me up, Soren Nord.
Nice.
Why butter me up?
Because it sounds like Soreen, which is beautiful. Well, it's lovely to have butter on. Tantalizing Travis Mentecalo.
Yeah, whoa. Colin McLeaner than Finn Balor. Look at those abs.
Lena, yes. Finding Jory Debo.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Nate Drop's surname says the creepers don't run at the top guys one at a time with their arms in the air. They attacked like a mob, and that's why it worked.
Well, I will give you that. Yeah. It was quite hilarious re-watching TLC with all of them running at Roman Reigns with their arms in the air so we could hit them with kendo sticks.
Mm.
And the other lads at the start who attacked them one by one. And it really did remind me of, you haven't even got a name badge. You stand no chance.
Yeah. Yeah, that those tactics, yeah, definitely a lot better. I thought there should have been more.
Yeah.
I thought it had been a great vision as well. And Siddharth Online said they teased Cutler joining the Dark Order on being the Elite.
I criticize WWE all the time for running angles on social media, and then when they put them on TV and people are like, what's going on? And they're like, well, you didn't follow the story on social media, so it's all your fault that you didn't pick up on it. Like, that's such a small portion. Like, you want to be putting this sort of stuff on TV where it can the most eyes can see it, as opposed to running it in a small thing. And I think it's one of, if being the Elite is in canon to Dynamite, you need to have some connection there. You need to have being the Elite, section of being the Elite being shown on Dynamite and vice versa. And as well with Dark sometimes feels like it's in a different universe.
Yeah.
Like, they sometimes do stuff, but they never show you clips of Dark. So yeah, if they've been teasing the storyline of being the Elite, great. But you need to be doing that on TV, not solely on your YouTube show.
Yeah, I totally agree. And BrainPower 316, or I should probably say 316. That's
maybe
probably what that number means.
Probably.
Got a WrestleTalk sign on AEW last night.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it was during a commercial. Did we, the Corpus Christi audience, redeem ourselves? Haha.
I thought the Corpus Christi crowd was great. Yeah. Really good.
Was this the guy who...
It could,
pictures.
Could well be.
Was that in an ad break?
It was in an ad break, yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, it was during the fight, because everyone was sending us the fight version of it. And do we want to do, lastly, Christian Baltimore. Would love to see Darby Allin as champion. Happy holidays to the Brave Boys.
The bravest boys. I mean, it is difficult because he is so small, but I think there's a way you can book it to make him... Get the big win eventually. It will require a lot of work, though.
I do love Darby Allin, though. I was genuine. I loved the tag match that they had.
Yeah, it was really
but
good.
But during the ad break, they showed him like getting ready to walk to the ring, and I instantly started to get excited.
Yeah.
And then his music in, I'm like, I'm in. I'm so in. I'm ready.
So let's do the whole show. It opened. Now, this we don't usually talk about NXT and AEW, and we won't go into spoilers, don't worry. But they had to open big because NXT was also opening big with Balor versus Cole.
Yes, yeah. For the NXT Championship.
And they closed with the Baszler-Rhea Ripley match.
They were going all guns blazing. Yeah. I've got to think that NXT is going to slaughter them in the ratings this week.
Or... as Meltzer pointed out as well, this is not a good week for... That wasn't a good night for anything other than news.
Yeah.
Because of the whole Trump impeachment trial stuff. So maybe that margin might be decreased because... Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what the numbers are. Let's see on your thoughts as well. Yeah, as expected, 7,000 people have voted so far. 70% said NXT was the better show. I think that's the biggest difference so
far. If not, it's among there. Yeah, I'm completely unsurprised when you go in with two title matches, two big time title matches that you would have usually saved for takeover shows. And
it was pretty much a takeover.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I think that was what they wanted to do because it was their last live show of the year. You know, and the next week they have got a show that they've already taped stuff for on Christmas Day, but Dynamite haven't even done a show on Christmas Day. Mm. So I think that NXT were looking to do big all guns blazing for the final show of the year.
But AEW did kick off with an excellent match.
Loved
to at least
this
combat
match.
The Balor versus Cole draw. It was Kenny Omega versus Hangman. Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. Versus my boys, the Lucha Bros. Hashtag it should have been Pentagon.
Did you see the name bar for Paige? So last week it was spent last week's Dynamite home alone with a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah.
This one says, I don't know, make it say something like happy holidays.
Well, that's one of the theories why he wasn't out there saving all his elite friends later. Mm. It's because he was just drinking backstage.
Yeah, he's doing some cowboy S-words. I love this. I'm first note here for our Brain Power friend. Crowd were super, super hot for this match, and they were so into all four lads in there. I love watching Rey Fénix and Kenny Omega work together. It's just a thing of beauty.
Yeah. I love watching pretty much any combination of these four guys work together. But you're right, Fénix and Omega has now gone above Pentagon and Omega for me. The commentators did a really good job of building up the story from last week where Omega and Paige won, but there was a little bit of the dissension in there where Paige blind tagged himself in even though Omega had it won. And that they explained it away but they made up on social media afterwards. Great, that's all I need to know. That was a really good use of commentary to tell this story and not do it over in Being the Elite or Dark or some YouTube channel.
Well, that's it, yes. They didn't do it on Being the Elite and then have went on to commentary and was like, I mean, we all saw Being the Elite.
Yeah.
So we all know what happened there.
But it was a bit house showy at the start in the nicest possible way where Pentagon spent about a minute teasing getting his glove off.
Doing the glove thing and doing the Zero Miero into the face.
I'm amazed the amount he does that taunt. That it's over every time. You would think, oh, you've done it four times this match. It's going to get a bit tired now. But no, the crowd and me watching at home, I still love it.
I love his little walk that he does.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
But he did it to Paige to start things off. But Paige did it right back and shoved it in his face.
Yeah, I loved that.
And then it was just, Fénix and Omega, Paige versus Penta. There was a holy S-word chant just for the... Zero made the I can't say it.
Yeah. Spanish is not my forte. I mean, I've written here when they're working over Kenny Omega, because like usually you'd just write like, heels work over babyface.
Mm.
But it felt like so much more than that because they were working him over so quickly. Like it was the Lucha Brothers worked together so, like they're such a cohesive unit.
Yeah.
That when they do work on you, it does feel like proper tag team. I know what my partner is doing before they're even going to do it. And it's just so quick. It's impossible to take notes on Lucha Brothers matches sometimes.
It's like the Bucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, maybe it's a Brothers thing.
Yeah, because there's a spot in the Bucks match when they did the top rope Hurricane Rana. But when I just write top rope Hurricane Rana, that sounds so basic. But there was actually 10 steps to get to that point, but those 10 steps were too difficult to make notes on. You just write top rope Hurricane Rana. I hope I remember the rest of it.
Yeah, I think I wrote, they're trying to one-up each other in jumping the ropes.
Yeah.
And then it ends, then, Nick wins with a... But the 15-minute time call in this, there's a pop-up German from Paige.
Oh.
Looked great. Like, I think it was Fénix who was just thrown into Paige.
It was, yeah. It was when the Omega and Paige started to get onto the same page, no pun intended, and to work together. And he just, grabs Fénix underneath the armpits and just launches him into Paige so he can catch him with the German suplex. I love that as a double team move.
And they're working really well, like you said. But then Omega has got Penta. He's holding him. and Paige comes in to do the buckshot lariat, but Penta moves, takes out Omega. I reacted so big to this. You were watching me. I was just I'm really invested in this story. And when it works so well. And off the back of that, package pile driver and Phoenix stomp for the Lucha Bros to win.
And then after the match, Paige gets back into the ring and they start shoving each other, but get distracted because the bastard Pack was on screen because he's got beef with Omega that he still has to finish. And he says, it's time to remind Kenny Omega of just who I am. He walks down the hallway, opens up the locker room to reveal Michael Nakazawa is listening to his headphones so loudly that he can't hear anyone come into the room.
Maybe they're the same make as Natalia's headphones. Yep. Do you remember that?
Yeah, the Dana Brooke drop storyline, a storyline that everyone thought we were mad because we didn't think it was good.
Mm.
I thought it was rubbish. And then Pax just so creepily looks back at the camera and closes the door. Kenny Omega freaks out because he's really good friends with Nakazawa, and he runs to the back to save his friend. And during the commercial break, he couldn't find Pac, but he got beat down by the Lucha Brothers, and Paige made the save. So I thought it was very interesting that Paige made the save there, but still wasn't out for their main event angle.
Well, it's a really well-told, slow-burn thing. Yeah. I don't think, when you look at some heel turns, you're like, he was heel all along and he was suckering the babyface in. No, I just think this is Paige slowly getting more and more frustrated with people.
Yeah.
And eventually he's going to snap. That's character. That's character growth and change. Really good. Just one tiny thing. I don't know why I appreciated this so much. I love how Omega ran through the crowd to get backstage.
Yeah.
He didn't run up the stage, like the ramp bit.
Yeah.
And I just, in my head, I thought, that's different. It must be faster to get there.
Because they did it for Britt Baker as well after the Chris Statlander match, because they were doing the gimmick with the Nightmare Collective. You could see the referees taking Britt out the same direction that Kenny went.
It's a nice way to extend the Paige Omega stuff, weaving it in with the Pack stuff. There's three great names there. I'm so glad they're all in a program together. Bit of Lucha Bros as well. Unfortunately, that Lucha Bros beatdown of Omega, which is off the back of a sort of AAA thing that Phoenix and Omega had the match. Again, something that would have been better with clips and a video package maybe to inform that. But it was all done in the shrink screen ad break.
Yes.
And while I appreciate the fact that it's a better way to keep viewers from switching over to NXT, every ad break now is shrink screen as opposed to just a few before, I would like a recap when we come back from break.
We kind of talked about this before and I agree with you, but I think it needs to be later in the show, because the problem with doing it after the break still tells your audience, well, you can switch over because we're going to recap it after the break anyway.
Yeah. The way they're doing it at the moment isn't working.
Particularly because they're not recapping it at all. Yeah. Like, that's the big issue, is they're not recapping it at all. Yeah,
they do. That's one of their problems. They think you even watch the ad breaks. You watch Being the Elite, you watch Dark, you watch all of our weirdly scattered YouTube channels.
Yeah, you're watching Sammy's vlogs.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. It should be used to, that should be used to augment the stories, not to disperse the stories.
Tell you what as well, I would have really appreciated some highlights of Dark. Did you see this week's Dark? The main event was the TH2 and Pac versus Best Friends with Orange Cassidy. And it was one of the best matches of the year. It was really good. And then Orange Cassidy tagged in, and the whole, the crowd go ballistic for Orange Cassidy. And all the sequence he does with Angelico and Evans are really good. And then it comes down to Orange Cassidy and Pac. Joey Janela gets so excited, because Joey Janela was doing commentary, he gets so excited he can't get his words out. And it was amazing. So good. Just watch those last 5 minutes.
Yeah. Next up, we had another Cody tag match against The Butcher and The Blade.
Mm-hmm.
And after last week's tag, where he lost...
Yes, with QT Marshall.
It was Darby Allin who came to Cody's rescue, because all of Cody's other mates are busy or kicking him in the balls.
Yeah.
So we got this tag match here.
And I loved it.
Yeah, it was really good. Cody's so over.
Yeah.
Darby came out, massive pop, and I was like, God, Darby's over. But then the lights cut out. Oh, no, that's over.
Yeah, that is over, yeah. I love Butcher and Blade. I really like their style, particularly the Butcher. And I just absolutely loved this match. I also loved as well that they gave this some stakes right at the start, because Darby had apparently said, or these commentators told us, that he's teaming with Cody here out of respect, but also if they win, he gets his Cody rematch from Fyter Fest.
I love that.
Yeah, really, like, it just added just a tiny little bit of stakes to the to the match. And I just thought that my favourite spot of this match, though, was when the Butcher had the clover leaf in on Darby Allin. Cody sees this and he's like, oh no, my tag partner's in trouble. So he gets him to boot the Butcher off, boots him in the face, and the Butcher just looks at him and be like, yes.
Yeah, it's two kicks as well.
Yeah.
No, I'm not moving.
Nah, not moving, mate.
It was a really fun match. I didn't love it as much as other people seem to have done. Maybe it's because I'm just not sold on the Butcher and the Blade. They were good in the ring last week, but I just, and they lost here.
Yeah.
So it just
kind of sucks to lose the second time round.
Yeah, but there's a more important story, which is Cody and Darby.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the right move to go with that stuff. But now you're left with debuting a new act, and you've beaten them on the third week of them being around.
Yeah.
So it's another problem with AEW that they're just introducing
too many
people,
characters,
even when they haven't got the current crop over to the extent they need to, yeah.
Yeah, and they're going to be in a weird position next year, because they are, like, you know, they're debuting people left, right, and center. Because we had Shanna, we've had Big Swole, we've had Chris Statlander, like, being introduced to the women's division, Butcher and the Blade here, the Dark Order being reintroduced, the Nightmare Collective are making a debut. And then we've also got people saying, like, when's Marty coming in, Brody Lee, and then, like, next year, you'd be like, with the Revival, possibly Rusev, and Tennille Dashwood. So that all of a sudden there's going to be even more names that might come in. So it really feels like it's becoming a bit crowded.
CM Punk.
Well, obviously, yeah. It's a bit crowded.
The finish was really good, though. After a visual pin from Cody after hitting the crossroads, but the bunny distracted them. Darby did a coffin drop on the Butcher on the apron.
Yeah, because Cody kicked him onto the apron with a disaster kick, and then Darby quick to flash got up there and hit the coffin drop. Oh, it was brilliant.
I bet the Butcher doesn't even feel that. And I bet for Darby that was the nicest coffin drop he's ever taken.
He bounced off the mustache.
Yeah. And then Cody hit a really cool springboard cutter to beat the Blade.
Yeah, the double springboard cutter is really nice.
So I think Cody should add the cutter, not a springboard one because it's quite contrived. I think a...
Tell that to Robbie X.
I think that should be in his repertoire, maybe even as a finishing move. And I'll tell you why. Not only does he have the legacy connection with Randy Orton, whose finisher is the RKO, but there's also the DDP connection.
Exactly, yeah.
I never thought of that before until I saw this.
Well, I thought when he did it last week, I thought that's why he was doing it, as a tribute to Dusty, who is part of the Nightmare family.
Yeah. But not a very good job at building the Butcher and the Blade.
Yeah.
Another tag team to sort of clug up the division. I don't know what clug means, but it feels like that's what's happening.
Jack Klugman.
Yeah. Then we got a Jungle Boy training montage, which was excellent.
This was so good.
Yeah. I was hyped up for it after. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I want to see this fight.
It made me want to go work out.
It was really good because...
It didn't.
I don't know what the oxygen mask thing was.
It's probably
really
some
training thing.
Yeah.
But he's running, he's squatting, he's doing these really high box jumps. I can jump.
With weights.
Yeah. Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was like doing like weights, and then he was doing the box jumps.
I get those. I've seen those. I've used those boxes.
Brag.
And just the one beneath the top one is pretty tall. So how's he doing both of them? But always over the top is Jericho's dialogue from his promo last week. You can't last 10 minutes with me.
Yeah.
You can't last 10 minutes with me. It was... really good stuff. I've written down here, just wish it was more jungle themed. So maybe he's like, you know, he's swinging on ropes.
Yeah.
A gorilla's giving him a massage.
Yeah. You want George of the Jungle?
I wanted George of the Jungle. Yeah. Watch out for that tree.
It's not Brendan Fraser's highest point.
I love George of the Jungle.
There's no Airheads, let's be honest.
Then we got, this is another thing. AEW can't have so many lights cut out entrances.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was Sean Spears.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, well, it's not Cody, so it's going to be Sean Spears. It's awesome, Kong!
Yeah. Yeah, we don't need three people having the lights out entrance.
And the Dark Order, I think, as well, are going to get that sort of treatment.
Awesome Kong very quickly beat Miranda Alice. She just hit the implant buster for the win. Brandy cuts an inset promo saying she still wants Chris Statlander to join. The bald man walks in, but they're not showing his face for whatever reason.
Who is it?
I don't care. I think that's the real problem here. This isn't Dark Order, like the thumbnail that we got, that feels like a mystery. This is a genuine real life mystery, and I just don't care. I love Brandy. I love Awesome Kong. They've made me not care about this group.
Yeah, it's a rubbish gimmick. He's got the sort of mannerisms of Christopher Lloyd's Fester.
from the Addams Family.
The way he sort of walks in. So hopefully it's just that.
Yeah.
They cut off her hair, do that thing. Then there's a sit-down interview with Jungle Boy and JR from earlier in the day in the ring. And he just comes across as so likable.
Yeah, I mean, I've written here, it's a genuine promo.
Well, that's it. It's not scripted. He's just talking from the heart. It wasn't, you know, like, it's not amazing. He's not tearing up or having very good delivery to the extent of Cody's stuff. But it just came across as a real person.
It made me want to see him win. Really made me want to see him win.
Yeah.
Which we got next was Chris Jericho versus Jungle Boy. A match that, like, I don't think a lot of people got.
Really?
Well, in the sense that when they announced this a couple of weeks ago, Jericho said, I've got one more match in my AEW contract for 2019. And they set the match up with Jungle Boy.
Yeah.
And they said, you can last 10 minutes with me.
Yes.
And they announced it's going to be a 10-minute match, not for the title. The amount of people who watched that and said, Jungle Boy hasn't won a match. Why is he getting a world championship match? The win-loss records are already out the window. And it just sounds like, they've been very clear that it's not a title match. And Jericho was like, well, of course I picked him. He's not beaten anyone.
I was confused by the 10 minutes thing.
Yeah, because you said to me, has this always been a 10 minute gimmick?
Well, I knew the 10 minute thing. I just didn't know, and I'm still, to be honest, a bit confused. They had the timer on the Titantron counting down, so it's like, oh, okay, so all he has to do is either Jericho has to beat, it's a beat the clock.
No, it was Jericho said you can't last 10 minutes in the ring with me.
Yes,
and Jungle Boy said yes, I can. And so it was just a 10-minute time limit match.
But so was it because the match continued and the referee kept on counting pins after?
That's because Jericho asked for 5 extra minutes. So because Jericho, it was an overconfident Jericho, thought he had the match won because he had him in the Walls of Jericho for like 2 minutes. So he was like, no, I'm not having a draw here. I'm going to go out and I'm going to get an extra 5 minutes. And they re-ring the bell. And then he gets back into the ring. Jungle Boy hits a couple of near falls on him. And he's like, oh, actually, you know what? F this. I haven't got him beaten. I'm just going to leave. I didn't actually want those extra 5 minutes.
So okay. I saw all that happen. That makes sense. So it's a count out loss for Jericho.
They announced it was a draw. They announced that the extra 5 minutes weren't officially sanctioned by AEW.
Okay. I liked it. I just felt a bit confused. But maybe that's my fault for being an idiot.
I don't say you're an idiot.
The match, however, I thought was fantastic. They had Jungle Boy's mum and sister at ringside.
And his nan.
It's exactly what it needed to be. Jericho's being cocky. He could have beaten them, it seemed, a few times early on.
Yeah.
Lifts up the shoulder.
I'm going to school you.
Yeah. It didn't even need to. Jake Hager attack Jungle Boy outside.
I know. Brilliant. I loved it because it was a way to get rid of Hager and Luchasaurus from ringside because Luchasaurus and Marcos don't come down with Jungle Boy. Just love them as a trio. Mm. And someone actually said, like they videoed their entrance and said, why is it when I see these lads, I think of Luke, Ollie and Pete?
Ah, am I Luchasaurus?
You're definitely Luchasaurus.
Well.
Because you're the taller of us.
There were points, again, where and I think it's when Jungle Boy looks sad that he looks like Andy Datsun. So I've written that Andy's called Sad Boy. Sad Boy Datsun.
So during this match, Jake Hager, he sort of like low bridges Jungle Boy to fall out while Jericho is distracting. Luchasaurus runs down, they get into a tussle. I'm like, man, I want to see that. Marco Stunt tries to get involved and Hager just goes bop and just knocks him out of the air.
Yeah, it's Stunt doing this dive over the top rope and yeah, it's brilliant.
So good. And the referee ejects them, so Hager walks alone. Luchasaurus throws Marco Stunt over his shoulder to walk away. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and then it goes back into the ring and Jericho's mostly dominating again after a brief flurry. And he gets Jungle Boy and the Wolves.
Well, the other one as well, they did the Lion Salt.
Yeah.
So Jericho misses the Lion Salt, and then Jungle Boy hits a Lion Salt of his own for a great near fall. Crowd really loved bought into that.
I didn't think they bought into it. I think they liked
the spot. Oh, they liked the spot, and they're like counting along with it to go with the big, oh.
But I know what you mean. I didn't believe he was going to win.
When they restarted the match, I thought he might pick up a win.
I guess it's non-title. That sit down from the full-on Boston Crab Walls of Jericho for like 90 seconds at the end, and Jungle Boy is trying to get to the ropes. Jericho pulls him back into the middle. The whole crowd are willing him. Like, it was really dramatic stuff. That was the best thing on the whole show. That those last 90 seconds of that bit.
Really good stuff. Mm. Really, really enjoyed it.
But then it gets to 10 minutes, and then Jericho asks for 5 more minutes. And then I got confused. And then it goes to break, it comes back, and Tony's interviewing Jericho on the ramp. And in a great bit of work, Jericho cuts this promo where he's saying that, but you know, he didn't beat me.
Yeah.
But Tony's saying, that wasn't the point though. You said he couldn't last 10 minutes with you. And Jericho's, no, I didn't.
I never said that.
But he asked for 5 more minutes, so he knows that. And it's just that, and then he sort of does this other heel trick, cowardly trick of making it more about John Moxley.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to face Jungle Boy anymore. So he makes it about Moxley.
Yeah.
And how it, you know, joined the Inner Circle. So he's trying to weasel out of 2 different feuds.
I thought it was really, really good. Yeah, and he says that the January 1st show, the Inner Circle have got a big surprise for John Moxley.
Mm.
I did miss John on this show.
Yeah, I know. We can't have him every week.
Can't have him every week, I know, but I did miss him.
Then we get an SCU interview backstage with Jen Decker.
Yeah.
They're ahead of the main event. And the Lucha Bros walk in. Penta is showing the botched spot from Daniels on his phone from the previous week. Daniels gets up in his face and then walks off all sad.
Yeah, because they're making fun of him, and Kaz says, show him you still got it. But Daniels can't. Daniels can't show that he's still got it, and he walks away very sad.
Dark Angel for a dark order.
I mean, me and Laurie thought he might come back as the Fallen Angel when he returns.
Yeah. Then we got Chris Statlander versus Britt Baker for the number one contendership, despite the power rankings not
Power rankings have been in. So the power rankings weren't last week, but since then have now reflected that they are ranked 1 and 2.
Okay, well, that's good. It's kind of
well, it's good. It's a rewriting of history, because they literally said on that show, Hikaru Shida is ranked number one.
Mm-hmm. I really like Chris Statlander. I really don't like her gimmick.
The alien thing.
I think it's stupid.
Yeah.
I don't like the makeup. I don't like the boop.
Yeah, I don't like the bopping.
It makes me not want to watch her matches. That's how... is childish the right word?
Childish is the right... Yeah, I'd say childish.
I like loads of childish stuff. But yeah. For whatever reason, I really don't like this. I think it's rubbish.
It's not good. No. So it's a bit indie riffic.
Oh, yeah, that's a good word for it, yeah.
Yeah. But this match was... it was fine. I thought it was okay. Some good stuff.
What was interesting to me is I don't know how long both women have been wrestling, but Britt Baker was sort of the chosen one. She was getting all the initial push stuff because she's a dentist. Wow. Which is impressive.
Yeah, it is impressive.
I've said it before. It takes me out of it because I think wrestling should be your full-time profession if you're that good at it. But she's just missing that level of charisma that would make you at the top of your division. Whereas Statlander seems to be a bit rawer in her wrestling, but she has the charisma.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad they went with her to win.
Completely. Yeah. Now I'm really glad they put her over. And they showed Riho in the crowd. It's the first time we've seen her since Full Gear.
That
was a month ago.
Yeah. There was also a joindarkorder.com graphic
briefly
appeared on screen.
And I know a few people are going to say, well, Riho's in Stardom. Like, she's over in Stardom, maybe she's over in Japan. Do video packages.
Yeah.
You've got time on the show. She's your bloody champion. Like, you should be featuring these people to be like, and here's the great work she's doing out in Japan, representing AEW. What a worldwide brand we are.
Yeah, for that company owned by Bushiroad, the owners of New Japan, I'm sure there's no political any awkward things right there.
Just have a cut promo then.
The finish of this was really good. Is it the lockjaw?
Yeah.
Britt Baker's finished sort of submission thing. She's got Statlander in that. But Statlander just picks her up in a sort of half fireman's carry, then gets her up on her shoulders fully, then transitions in it into the tombstone where she holds the legs differently. I mean, she's so big and strong.
She's a big, strong girl.
She's a big, strong, brave girl. I was watching that, and I just thought, I cannot wait to see you throw Rio around.
Yeah.
Because if you can do that to Britt Baker, you're going to launch Rio into the universe.
Into
back
space.
To your home planet. Yeah.
And then Tony's interviewing her on the entrance ramp, and she bops him. And then Brandy comes out, and she sends Tony away.
There was a weird thing about her talking about a microphone not being on.
I think she was meant to have like a sort of like microphone interruption, but the microphone wasn't on. I don't know. Anyway, she comes down to recruit Chris Statlander. Statlander says no, and so Brandy hits her in the face with a heel, and apparently hits her in the eye.
Heel.
She is a heel.
I thought that was a good injury spot. I could feel that. That got me.
Yeah. I just don't care about the...
But yeah.
I think that's the problem. It's like, I don't care about the group. So even when you do something that is really good like that, it's not really... Like, I'm not interested in Chris Statlander's feud with the Nightmare Collective.
Mm.
I'm interested in see her facing Riho.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not digging any of this Nightmare Collective stuff.
No.
It's just not working for me.
Sadie Gibbs ran down to help Statlander. I do like that. Babyfaces helping babyfaces. And then we get a backstage thing with Sean Spears and Tully Blanchard talking about how great tag team wrestling is. It's the main event of the show. That's where the money is.
Yeah.
I like that motivation. So I've got to find a tag partner for Spears.
And Tully's like, we need to find you, Arn Anderson. And so that's what they're going to do next.
I didn't think Tully was that good here.
No? He stumbled over his words slightly.
Yeah. But it's a pre-tape. Then you do it again.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, perhaps. You're right. You should just do it again. Maybe Tully, like, his contract is like, I'm going to do one take of anything.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it was live. And then we got the Young Bucks doing a promo on the tag division and SCU. They love them. They're going to have them round for Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
It's going to be awkward when we've got the tag titles, though.
Yeah, that's putting them on the Christmas table. It's a dick move.
And then it was the main event, which was Bucks versus SCU for the titles. We've talked about the main event angle cliffhanger, which was the Dark Order invasion. But the match itself was really good. Just a bit too short and never really found that main event gear that
That's
AEW
it,
has.
Yeah. You want this to be a PWG Bucks versus SCU match.
Yeah.
And really it wasn't.
Yeah. Before we get into the rest of our super chats, I'll give 3 out of 5.
Yeah, I gave it a 3 out of 5, yeah.
So let's get into your super chat. Jobber JJ 496. AEW in UK 2020. I want a ticket. Love Le Champion.
Yeah, we talk about this on the podcast outro about the UK tour or the UK show. Some theories that we might have.
Well, I'm more interested in what it's going to be called because I think there's going to be some UK royal shenanigans.
You think it's going to be called Royal Shenanigans?
Royal Shenanigans.
AEW presents Royal Shenanigans.
Is it better than Revolution?
Yes.
Yes. actually, let me go on to the... Have you got the live chat open? People, give us suggestions of what you want AEW's UK pay-per-view to be called.
Everyone seems to be in agreement with us as well that it was a 3 out of 5 show. Someone's said 2 out of 5, 3 out of 0.4.
Oh, give me some names.
Lena thinks it's a low 4 out of 5. Jobber JJ thinks it's a low 4 out of 5. Jeremy, 3 out of 5. Martin says 2 out of 5.
There was a lot on the show to really love. That opening tag, the Jericho Jungle Boy stuff. And the SCU.
And the first two matches.
Yeah, the tag match as well.
Yeah.
Statlander winning.
Lady Fortune, 3 out of 5. Sean gives it a score out of 10, which is not what we're asking for. So, I think it's in sort of like between the... Mostly it's a 3 and 4 out of 5 show for most people.
What about any UK pay-per-view name suggestions?
Canamil Probabil says that the AEW UK pay-per-view should be called WWE NXT.
I made that joke too. I said they should call it TakeOver London.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the super chat. Nate drops surname, Paige's moonsault on Ray off a dropkick to Bender. Wow.
Yeah. Really, really great stuff. Like Jim moonsault. Yeah, because he hits a drop kick and uses Pentagon as a springboard.
Yeah.
Jim Ross was blown away by it. He was like, what happened? But also, I love how the commentator said the genius of that move is it sends the tag partner out the ring. Like
ring awareness.
Yeah, I liked how the commentary played that.
All Elite DK, damn, I want Luchasaurus versus Jake Hager so badly.
Do we all just want Luchasaurus and everything? Like, really, that's...
It's weird because I don't usually want to see big guy versus big guy. But Luchasaurus versus big guy.
Yeah.
I'm into pretty much every combination.
I want to see Luchasaurus Darby Allin.
No.
I want to see
No.
I want to see Luchasaurus John Moxley. Like, I want to see...
No.
I want to see Luchasaurus as the main event of this show.
I want to see... I don't want to see him get into the violent stuff.
It's not violence. Oh. It's just the smaller guy bouncing off of him.
John Moxley and Darby Allin, they get, like, weapons out.
Oh, you don't want to see Luchasaurus get
hurt. It's cruelty against animals. I want to see
extinct,
him.
They're extinct, mate.
That's a hate crime. Yeah. Jake C, Luchasaurus versus The Butcher, yes or no?
Yes for me.
It's a big guy. Yeah, I think that would be a nice feud, actually.
Jurassic Express versus
Butcher and the Blade.
Yeah.
That works.
Because you can also have comedy on the outside with Marco and the Bunny.
Yeah. Tim Arndt, no disrespect to Statlander's wrestling ability, but her gimmick seems like it belongs in early 90s WWF or even CGW.
Yeah.
It is actually, isn't it? It's a bit of a crap gimmick wrestling gimmick.
Yeah.
And like Aliens is so 90s.
Yeah.
That's I'm in total agreement with you.
But not in the cool 90s way that Jurassic Express are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah,
that's weird, isn't it?
It's probably because it's a woman. all Elite DK. I think big AEW stars want to build new stars and it's making them dull. Why can't Cody, Kenny and Pac get more important matches with deep storylines?
Well, that's exactly it, yeah. Like, Cody's whole mission has been to create a whole new crop of stars. Same with Kenny and the Bucks. They don't want to be pushing themselves to the top because they don't want to Jeff Jarrett the situation. Mm.
All Elite DK again with a suggestion for a UK name.
Which is exactly the same one you came up with as well.
AEW presents Brexit Down.
Brexit Down.
With three smiley face emojis at the end. Yeah, I think if you have Brexit, but you make loads of X's.
Yeah.
So just call it Exit.
Triple Exit.
Yeah, so it looks like effort.
Time for me to exit, Terminator exit. Right, on the subject of WrestleTalks, Fergal McClement. I'd love a longer form podcast every day from Luke and Ollie, just chatting wrestling or rambling each day, then news episodes with Pete and Laurie doing them.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a lot of content. I think you might want it now, but will you want it when we're 20 episodes deep over 4 weeks?
I remember we actually did, like, one of our things was going to be to do daily wrestling podcasts, and then we presented it, and everyone was like, nah.
That's too much.
Actually, I don't want that at all.
I mean, right now, we do 5 long-form review shows a week.
Yeah.
On a non-pay-per-view week, it's going to be 6 this week, so...
Robert says, hey guys, just want to say how much I appreciate all you guys do. I went to my very first show, live show 3 weeks ago, and I'm thinking about going to Revolution as well. I always look forward to your videos. Keep up the great work.
Thank you very much. And that's a very generous super chat you gave in there as well.
It was a very
generous. You should
generous
be saving
one, yeah,
your money for those Revolution tickets. I think absolutely get, if you're in two minds, just go with the one that says yes.
And lastly, from BrainPower316, another interesting note, a local promotion was advertising a free meet and greet with Brody Lee on January 10th in Corpus Christi.
That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know how that works. Obviously, he won't be wrestling. It's not a televised promotion.
Because the Ascension have got a meet and greet at the start of March, but their actual match that they're having for another isn't until the end of March. I think it's March 21st.
Yeah, so maybe non-compete does even mean independent promotions. It's such a crazy rule for someone who's not an employee.
Oh yeah, they're independent contractors. Yeah.
Like, how are you gonna make the money after you've been let go from your freelance relationship?
Yeah.
It's disgusting, it really is.
This comes in from Safe, who says, "Hi, Luke and Diddlers." Oh wait, wrong show. Anyway, Cody said in a recent interview that in 2020, AEW will be coming to the UK, going either to Manchester and London or trying to hit as many markets as possible. If they do come to Manchester or London, would you think about hosting some sort of live show around that, like a meet and greet or a live review after it? Because that's something I'm sure there's a lot of interest in, since you're on the Tony Khan payroll. I'm sure you can find some he could do some promoting for you. If the show is in Manchester, I'll definitely be going. What kind of sign do you think I should bring? I think a support WrestleTalk sign is a bit boring. boring, and I want something more creative. Anyway, about to listen to your TLC 2011 review, so I hope you have a great podcast live stream after this. All the best, safe.
Well, if you've just listened to that, then I think the perfect sign is some kind of sign.
Some kind of sign.
Just have it written down in text.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tony Khan pays the checks. I'm sure he can give us a really swanky venue. I'd love to do that. I would, you know what? If WWE, no, that's a lie. If WWE did a pay-per-view over here, I would travel to it.
Yeah.
That was me being cynical. I was going to say, I wouldn't even travel to that, but I totally would. The fam would overtake me. But yeah, if AEW did, I won't even lie about that. I would go right away. I would love them to come here. And well, they are.
He said that it's going to happen. Otherwise, he's going to give us $500.
What sort of name do you think they'll go for?
Well,
take over London?
It's no. Do you know what my prediction is? It's going to be Full Gear 2.
But that's not a UK based pun.
Well, you would
have Royal in it.
No, but you'd
Royal
have
Gear.
You'd have the Union Jack in the logo. Sorry, the Union flag. I know you get upset when people get that
That's
wrong.
An incorrect thing, yeah.
Yeah.
If it was at sea, if it was on Jericho's cruise, then you can call it the Union. No, that's the Union Jack. Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's at sea. I want a different name.
Okay.
Full Gear doesn't have to be a recurring yearly name.
Well, Cody has kind of already said that it will be.
Oh, has he?
Yeah. Because he said we're doing Full Gear 2 next year.
I'm trying to think of good rubbish at the same time UK things.
Yeah.
Brexit, but with loads of X's.
Oh, triple X's.
Yeah. Exit.
Yeah.
Sounds like effort, doesn't it? AEW. Exit.
Well, this comes in from Matt, who says, "Hi, Ollie and Luke. I've just listened to your 2011 TLC Pledgehammer podcast review, and I heard that Ollie used to live in Chichester."
Yeah.
I live in Chichester.
Hey.
"I'm here for uni, but have dropped out. It's quite a nice city to live in, just a poor nightlife. How long did you live here for, and when did you move away? If you're free, you should come back down, and we could grab a pint or 20 with my spoons discount." "Sorry for the mad pop about this. Just took me by surprise. Regards, Matt Field." There's three emojis in that email.
Ah, which one? Expressing what emotions?
Crying with laughter emoji is after the 20 pints,
mm-hmm.
And a winky face emoji after the spoons discount, and then just a regular smiley face emoji after he signs his name.
Excellent usage. I would love to, Matt, but it holds many awful memories for me.
Ugh.
I never want to go back there. I lived there for 6 torturous months in a cold room. And in a cold, cold relationship.
I was going to say, I think if you remember the story that Ollie told around his time in Chichester, it wasn't full of warm.
I think Matt was just there. As soon as Matt heard Chichester, he was like, yes, Ollie's coming back to Chichester. And didn't hear all the emotional turmoil that I went through there.
I don't want to hear about it again. But this one comes in from Scott, who says, "Hi, guys. I think you're fans of the US version of The Office."
Now I am, yeah.
Ollie certainly is. "I was wondering if you've gotten a chance to listen to the Office Ladies podcast. It's Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsley breaking down the minutiae and backstory for each episode one by one. They are absolutely awesome. If you haven't checked it out, I highly recommend it. Take care."
The Office Ladies?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm all over that. I'll listen to some tonight. Thanks for the recommendation.
There you go.
Because I love the sort of all the backstage bits, because you'll see in the opening credits producer... BJ Novak, mm-hmm. What's her name? Mindy Kaling. Kaling. Yeah, and you know, they're all actors in and writers of the show itself. I just what a close-knit creative team they had. I didn't realize that Toby, Paul Lieberstein, I didn't know Toby's name, the actor, was Paul Lieberstein. I think that's right. And his name is all over the show. And then I find out he's a producer too. It's like 50% of the on-screen characters are also in backstage roles. It's AEW.
Well, let's have this quick email here from Luke Jadot before we get out of here, who says, "Hello to the WrestleTalk crew, including the God of Wrestling Talk, Sammy Guevara. I very much, like Aleister Black, been in the closet for a few months now. Over the course of about a year and a bit, I've slowly been becoming less attracted to the opposite gender and more attracted to my own. I chose to tell you this, guys, first. You're honestly partial role models in my life at the moment, especially with how accepting and overall kind you lads are, brackets, at least on screen. You've been sympathetic..."
Oh, we're assholes off screen. We would isolate you, we would make fun.
Yeah, you've been sympathetic and understanding to me from the start. The tales of depression after my mum's passing, my affiliation with the furry community, and of course, right here, right now, being a part of AJ Styles' favourite community.
The gay community.
He writes here, brackets, do the voice, Ollie.
You do it. It's your gag.
The gay community. Once again, thank you guys for being so open-minded in a divisive world full of negativity, hatred, and prejudice.
Is he talking about AEW NXT or, or other things? Wow, did Luchador just come out on the podcast?
He did, yes.
What's that? Is that breaking news for everyone? Or is it just for our community? Our community?
I mean, he says here, I chose to tell you guys first.
Whoa. Thank you, Luchador.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So thank you very much from the Luchifer.
Luchifer.
Luchador. Thank you very much.
Well, everyone, I hope everyone's cheek popping that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Woo. Well done. Now go and, go for that same sex.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just run right into it.
You do you. Anyway, that is all we've got time for on this edition of the podcast. What a lovely note to end on, actually. I was looking at the clock. I was hoping we could get that in just before we go live on this AEW review. But thank you all so much for listening. Boy, howdy, have you got a lot of podcasts coming up, because it is the Christmas season, folks, which means there's going to be the regular Raw and SmackDown reviews. Not AEW, because they haven't got a show on Christmas Day. And NXT does, but we're not doing a review of that either, because we're not coming in. Because we're not here on Boxing Day. But you have got top 10 wrestlers, top 10 matches, top 10 pay-per-views.
Yeah, there's loads.
Top 10 worst moments, top 10 best moments. The prediction show, the 2020 prediction show, the Christmas show.
Yeah, where we get drunk.
Because it's our Christmas party tomorrow, as well as all of the other usual regular content. So it is going to be, you're going to have almost too many podcasts to listen to. So please don't unsubscribe. In fact, leave us a good rating and review. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.